So if you were in Just Jane this since the beginning of this year, then you would have heard me kind of preach a bit of a series on Isaiah chapter 61. And I really felt in my heart end of last year that the Lord was laying this specific verse on my heart in Isaiah 61 verse 3. So let's quickly read Isaiah 61 just to recap. I'm going to recap, but I want to look at something specifically this morning. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." And this is Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Jesus. He's prophesying about Jesus. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." He's talking about Jesus. "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release them from darkness, from the prisons, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And verse 3 says this, "To revive those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them crown of beauty instead of oil." Are we at the right verse here? Verse 3, it says the oak of righteousness. Is this NIV? ESV? There. Is it there? Oh, there we go. Why am I missing that part? I thought it comes immediately. "And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or heaviness. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor," or for His glory, the ESV would say as well. So we looked at that last bit. They will be called, and this is us. The Lord is calling each one of us this morning to be called oaks of righteousness. And, you know, an oak is an amazing thing because it's a sign of strength in the Bible. It's always been a sign of strength. If you use that as an example, and it probably means strongly in Hebrew, and therefore a lot of people actually refer to it as a strong tree. That's what the Lord is calling you and me to this morning, to be a strong tree. Now, there's a lot of analogies. I want to look quickly into that, what we looked at the beginning of this year as well, as I felt this prophetic word stir over us. But then the Lord says, we will be a planting of the Lord. He's the one that's planting us. Why? So that we can bring glory to Jesus. And I'm immediately reminded of John 15, where he says that my Father is pleased when you bear much fruit. So as a tree, the one thing that the Father is looking for is that we will bear much fruit. Each one of us. Therefore, there will be times of the Lord pruning us. If you read that scripture, you will understand that there's always a cutting going to happen in your life. Whether you submit to the cutting where He's cutting you to produce more fruit, or there's the cutting that will be a cutting off. So both ways, you're going to get cut. With God, you're going to get cut. But ultimately, the one that I want to submit under is the one that He says, "I'm going to cut that you bear much fruit." The one thing about an oak is that its root system is going deep. We are rooted in Christ. How's your life been this last year? How's your life been the last few months? Are you rooted in Christ? And the strong oak, and some of the translations use this word, a generation of righteousness. I love that because it's not just a thing. It's just not like this little sprint that we're doing as a Christian. There's a generation. And the amazing thing is that we are reminded of the scripture in the book of Acts, where it says this about David. It says that David fulfilled his purpose in his generation. Are you fulfilling your purpose in this generation as a generation of righteousness? Are we living and standing out? I mean, I've watched these things. Sometimes you watch these little videos about tsunamis coming through, and it's usually these tall trees that stand firm because their roots are going deep. And I'm telling you right now, I've had some tsunamis this year. If I wasn't rooted in Christ, I would have been swept away by that. And I can look over this place and I can tell you there's a few people that this year storms have hit you, but you stood this year because you were an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for His glory, for His splendor. So these are a few things I just wanted to remind us again. Another thing is not just that it's a strong tree, but it's a tree of durability. How durable are you? If the storm comes and it's battering you, I mean, and some of us have gone through months of storms. I usually say, I think sometimes farmers have more faith than pastors. Just in this drought that we've got right now. You've been battered from all sides. You have animals to look after. And I didn't put it in my notes, but we're going to look at the characteristics of a righteous person. One of it is he looks after his animals. It's a scripture in Proverbs that says, the righteous man looks after his animals. In other words, God's called us to be good stewards of what we've got. And you know you've got family to feed. You know you've got all these things to do. You've got people that work for you. And you've got to stand tall. You've got to be an oak of righteousness. There must be durability. Oaks grow large and old. Therefore, that connotation with generation of righteousness. So, we as believers today can and should be oaks of righteousness. We are actually in a world filled with a lot of dead trees amongst us. So as we grow, and it's not a suggestion, it's a command that he says, we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Let's look at this in 2 Peter quickly, that verse in 2 Peter 3. But grow, this is not, again, it's not a suggestion, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. You and I, we need to grow. I've got lots of little saplings, little trees and things like that. You know, there's nothing on it right now. This morning, somebody gave me a bean plant. And I just harvested 4 beans off my bean plant, you know. And that's the reason why you plant something. Because you want to produce a fruit. And it's so wonderful. I mean, I must probably pick the one prematurely is about that big. But the one was like that big. It produced a bean that big. The plant's about that big, but it produced. See, that's the amazing thing about it, that there's joy in that. So when God comes to you and me, and He sees us growing up, and He goes, well done. And He's fruit on that tree. And that tree's fruit is not just for you to look good. It's for the people around you, for your neighbors. So I'm going to look at fruit in William's life, and I'm going to pick some fruit from William's tree. I'm going to pick some fruit from Doug's tree. Because that's the reason why we produce fruit. We're not just a show off tree with beautiful fruit on it. We need to be used of the Lord. So we need to stand up. We should become large, vibrant oaks. We need to be flourishing in righteous deeds and acts. Because we are learning to depend more and more on the supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit. Something I spoke about a lot this year is depending on the Holy Spirit. Be a spirit-filled people, a spirit-filled church. And He's the one, and this is the verse I quickly want to look at, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. In other words, we must remain. We must remain in Jesus. We must remain in the Father. The lost will be convicted and the saved encouraged when they see us bearing supernatural righteous fruit. And they realize that it is the Lord alone who deserves all the glory. So these plantings of the Lord, we are planted in His vineyard. And at this time, there's a certain time, they will produce the fruit of righteousness. As we grow up, we produce the fruit of righteousness instead of bad fruit. The symbolism of being like oaks may communicate strong, well-rooted, like I just mentioned, and glorious these righteous people will be. They are the people that God planted to bring glory to Himself. Colossians 2 verse 6 to 7. Let's quickly look at that. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. There we go. Rooted and built up in Him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. We need to stay rooted. And then there's a thanksgiving. It ends with that thanksgiving. The purpose indicates that one of the main goals and of mankind will be to fulfill this joyful responsibility of glorifying God. I just prayed this morning. John Piper said this: God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. If He's our all in all, if I feed on Jesus on a daily basis, it's just everything is about Him. He is most glorified. The one thing that God wants to do, it's for His splendor. We saw that. For His glory. The one thing that He wants to do is God wants to show us off. That's the amazing thing about it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 talks about we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That word workmanship is the Greek word poema, which means poem. You are God's poem. You are God's poetry. He's busy writing a story about your life. And that is something on display. He wants to show you off. He wants you to stand tall as an oak. He wants you to give Him glory. He wants to show His splendor through you. That's what He wants to do. Spurgeon, he says this: God takes pleasure in all His children, as Jacob loved all his sons, but the meek are His Josephs. And upon these, He puts the coat of many colors, beautifying them with peace, content, joy, holiness, and influence. A meek and quiet spirit is called an ornament. And certainly, it is the beauty of holiness. The thing that God loves is that if we are holy, He says, be holy as I am holy. God wants us to reflect who He is for His glory. So this morning, literally, I want to look at 10 things from the Word, give you the verses, and show you what is the characteristics of a righteous person. God has called you to be an oak of righteousness. I want to show you the characteristics of a righteous person. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to go home. But I want you to live these things, because God's called you. You see, no man is righteous out of himself. None of us are. Bible says no one's righteous in the book of Romans. Not even one. So there's a big theological term that God uses. It's something that He gives us. It's His own righteousness. It's called imputed righteousness. He gives you His righteousness. You don't have any. So everything, the righteousness that you have right now is all of God. It's all because of Jesus. So now, what do we reflect? Let me show you quickly. Matthew 25, the first one, verse 37 to 40. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or in needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? King will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So the righteous, the first thing, if you're taking notes, the righteous are a giving people. The righteous are a giving people to the needy, to the hungry, praying for the sick, visiting those that are in prison. But we are a giving people. The righteous are a giving people. Number two, Romans chapter 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Second thing I want to say to you is that the righteous have a living, obedient faith. It's one thing to have faith, but it's another to actually step out, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. God loves it when you step out in faith. He loves it. He stirs in your heart to go pray for somebody and pick and pay. You step out in faith. You feel like an absolute doofus. But ultimately, he says, I'm going to back that up. You know why? Because you're stepping out in faith. And God blesses that. I want you to go visit so-and-so and just deliver this word. God loves it. Having a living, obedient faith. So that's what the righteous do. They are giving people. They have a living, obedient faith. 2 Peter 2. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. You see, there's this war between lawlessness and righteousness. The third thing is the righteous are distressed by the wickedness of this world. You just have to open Facebook. You just have to read something, newspaper. You just need to look on TV and news and things like that. And the reports of people. The righteous is distressed by the wickedness of this world. Like righteous Lot, by the things that he saw and the things that he heard. So what do? We pray. We pray. I'm telling you right now, the results that we are seeing is the results of prayer. We as the church determined for one term to pray together. We've had 8 baptisms. We've had 10 baptisms in this term, in this church. 10 baptisms. Why? Because the Lord is busy reviving hearts. And we asked Him to do it. We seek His face. When we come and we preach the gospel, God comes and He meets the hearts of the people. How will they hear unless we preach the gospel, the Bible says. The fourth thing is 1 John 3 verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The righteous do what is right. Don't try and juke the system. Do what is right. Pay your taxes. Even his disciples came to him and said to him, you know what? No, pay, give unto Caesar, which is Caesar's. Give for the Kaiser, for the Kaiser's and us. Yeah, but you know what? They steal our money anyway. I don't care what they do with your money. Give it to them. Because you do what is right as a righteous person. Do what is right. Okay. Fifth thing. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay. But the righteous gives generously. The righteous have a different view of money. We look at money differently. They give generously. And then we go back to point number one is they are giving people. You see, the righteous, we don't look at money as a means to an end or an end itself. It's just a means to an end. It's not the end itself. Like, oh, now I have lots of money in the bank. Now I'm rich. No, it's not what it's about. They've asked Rockefeller, I've said this many times before, they've asked Rockefeller's accountant, so how much money did he leave behind? And he said, well, all of it. It's truth. You're taking nothing with you. Not a single cent. Not even those coins that people believe to pay the ferryman. You don't even want to take that money. Christa Berg said, don't pay the ferryman. Here's the thing. So we think we gather all these riches and we're rich on planet Earth. People, the riches are in heaven. Pay it forward. Start storing up things in heaven where no moth and no rust can destroy it. We need to be a giving people. We need to look at things differently. We need to look at money differently. Number six, I'm going to read a few scriptures in Proverbs 10. So you can do all those Proverbs ones quickly. Proverbs 10, they're all pretty much the same. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The next one in Proverbs. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips, you see the mouth, the tongue, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. And then the last one, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut off. The righteous speaks life. We speak life. That's what we do. We all know a doom prophet, doom profete. Whoa! Hoe het gegaan? Oh, sukkel, 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 sukkel. It's like the old lady that said, oh, pastoor, die duivel het vir my 'n streep getrek. To say, Tannie, jy lyk alsoos 'n zebra. So 'n streep uit jou getrek het. Sukkel, sukkel. This good friend of mine, he's with the Lord right now. He said, oh, hier kom die Christen nou weer. 'N dag laat en 'n rand kort. Verstaan jy? Padoop, 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 padoop. Because we always moan. You know, you walk past, I will refrain from saying X bookshop. You put your own name of it, Christian bookshop, in the mall. You should be the happiest person. You work for Christians. You should be the happiest place. You know, it should be joyous inside there. But they stand behind that counter and they look like they've just been baptized in prune juice. How are you doing? Marvelous. It's my fifth shift in a row. Who cares? Joy of the Lord is your strength, man. We need to start speaking life. We need to, as a people. We need to start speaking it to one another. Start speaking life into situations, into people's lives. Don't just expect the worst of your family. I'm going to my family right now, and I know there's going to be copious amounts of drinking. I know that. But I need to be a light. I need to be salt to them. I need to show them Jesus. It's my privilege to do it. It's not even my duty. It's my privilege to speak life. The next one, number seven, Proverbs 12, verse 5. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The righteous has good plans. I'm not talking about making resolutions for 2020, you know. A good friend of mine in the Isle of Man joked, he said, listen, he can't wait for the 1st of January for all the preachers on Vision 2020 for 2020. He sees it in the highlights, you know, and everything, the headlines, Vision 2020 for 2020, you know. Don't try and make these resolutions. If you want to make resolutions, go read a guy by the name of Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. This is your homework. Go Google it. Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. He made these when he was a young boy. He started at, I don't know, You can go read about that history. He was young, like 8 or 7 or 10 or whatever, years old. He started making these resolutions. Go read them. It will be convicting. It will be like a sword cutting you when you read those resolutions. This is not about, there's not single one of them of losing weight or anything like that on that list. Okay. Number 8, Proverbs 12:26. We're almost there. A righteous man is cautious in friendship. The way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous is careful who his friends are. It's a very interesting one. I don't know if you've seen that before. But this is something. We make friends and we have friends, and there are some people in your life that you shouldn't have in your life right now. The righteous is careful who his friends are. Proverbs 13 verse 5. This is number 9. A righteous hate what is false, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. See, there's always this dichotomy. The righteous hates lies. And I want to say that the righteous don't just hate lies. He hates false doctrine. I want to put it in there. That there is so much false doctrine going on about this world right now. You just have to like press one button and you can get so much junk and be fed with that on a constant. So we need to be a people that know and discern what is truth. We need to be a people of truth and hate lies. The last one. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. One of God's names in the Old Testament is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Yes, some of you know. The Lord, our righteousness. He is my righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 23 says this, verse 5 and 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch. This is talking about Jesus. Okay, announcing the birth of Jesus, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just or righteous and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 says this. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus was born that you and I can run into his loving arms when we sin. When we sin, 1 John 1 verse 9 says, he, and we repent, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and righteous to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's the one. This one that we celebrate now. He is the one, the King, the Prince of Peace. He is that one, the Lord our righteousness. I want to conclude with two verses. Isaiah 53 verse 11 and 1 Peter 3. Isaiah 53 says this. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. This is talking about Jesus. 700 years before the birth.